Maybe some of you who work for larger companies might be able to understand this, but occasionally, you know, you get two directives at once of things that are supposed to be highlighted on the same day and all. And that's today in the church. Today is the first ever Sunday of the Word of God by proclamation of Pope Francis. From now on, the third Sunday in Ordinary Time will be the Sunday of the Word of God. And also, nationally here in the United States, the bishops say, this is Catholic Schools Week. And I go like, come on, guys, get your act together. Do you ever feel like that if you're in that, in there? And really, it was only this morning when I read the homily that Pope Francis gave today in at St. Peter's in the Vatican for the Sunday of the Word of God, where I went and I said, oh, yeah, well, maybe we can do this. So I'm going to do a little addition at the end, but I'm going to share with you what he said. So I thought it really hit me well, and I think these folks, this will be meaningful too. So he quotes the gospel to start off with stuff today. Jesus began to preach. With these words, the evangelist Matthew introduces the ministry of Jesus. The one who is the Word of God has come to speak to us in his own words and by his own life. On this first Sunday of the Word of God, let us go to the roots of his preaching, to the very source of the Word of life. Today's gospel helps us to know how, where, and to whom Jesus began to preach. How did he begin? With a very simple phrase, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the main message of all of Jesus' sermons, to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does this mean? The kingdom of heaven means the reign of God. That is, the way in which God reigns through his relationship with us. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that God is near. Here is the novelty, the first message. God is not far from us. The one who dwells in heaven has come down to earth. He became man. He has torn down walls and shortened distances. We ourselves did not deserve this. He came down to meet us. Now, this nearness of God to his people is one of the ways he has done things since the beginning, even of the Old Testament. He said to his people, imagine what nation has its God so near to it as I am near to you. And this nearness became flesh in Jesus. This is a joyful message. God came to visit us in person by becoming man. He did not embrace our human condition out of duty. No, but out of love. For love, he took on our human nature. For one embraces what one loves. God took our human nature because he loves us and desires freely to give us the salvation that alone and unaided we cannot hope to attain. He wants to stay with us and give us the beauty of life. Peace of heart, the joy of being forgiven, and feeling loved. We can now understand the direct demand that Jesus makes. Repent. In other words, change your life. Change your life, for a new way of living has begun. The time when you live for yourself is over. Now is the time for living with and for God, with and for others, with and for love. Today, Jesus speaks those same words to you. Take heart. I am here with you. Allow me to enter, and your life will change. Jesus knocks at the door. That is why the Lord gives you his word, so that you can receive it like a love letter he has written to you, to help you realize that he is at your side. His word consoles and encourages us. At the same time, it challenges us, frees us from the bondage of our selfishness, and summons us to conversion. Because his word has the power to change our lives, and to lead us out of darkness into the light. This is the power of His Word. If we consider where Jesus started His preaching, we see that He began from the very places that were then thought to be in darkness. Both the first reading and the gospel speak to us of the people who sat in the region and shadow of death. They are the inhabitants of the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, on the road by the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles. This region where Jesus began His preaching ministry has been given this name because it is made up of people of different races and was home to a variety of peoples, cultures, and languages. It was truly on the road by the sea, a crossroads. Fishermen, businessmen, and foreigners all dwelt there. It was definitely not the place to find the religious purity of the chosen people. Yet Jesus started from there. Not from the forecourt of the Temple of Jerusalem, but from the opposite side of the country, from Galilee of the Gentiles, from that border region. He started from a periphery. Here there is a message for us. The word of salvation does not go looking for untouched, clean, and safe places. Instead, it enters the complex and obscure places in our lives. Now, as then, God wants to visit the very places we think He will never go. Yet how often are we the ones who close the door, preferring to keep our confusion, our dark side, and our duplicity hidden? We keep it locked up within, approaching the Lord with some rote prayers, wary lest His truth stir our hearts. And this is concealed hypocrisy. But as today's gospel tells us, Jesus went all about Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. He passed through all of that varied and complex region. In the same way, He is not afraid to explore the terrain of our hearts and enter the roughest and most difficult corners of our lives. He knows that His mercy alone can heal us. His presence alone can transform us. And His word alone can renew us. So let us open the winding paths of our hearts. Those paths that we have inside us that we do not wish to see or that we hide. Let us open them to Him who walked the road by the sea. Let us welcome into our hearts His word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Finally, to whom did Jesus begin to speak? The gospel says that as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." The first people to be called were fishermen. Not people carefully chosen for their abilities or devout people at prayer in the temple, but ordinary working people. Let us think about what Jesus said to them. "I will make you fishers of men." He was speaking to fishermen using the language they understood. Their lives changed on the spot. He called them where they were and as they were in order to make them sharers in His mission. Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Why immediately? Simply because they felt drawn. They did not hurry off because they had received an order, but because they were drawn by love. To follow Jesus, mere good works are not enough. We have to listen daily to His call. He who alone knows us and who loves us fully leads us to put out into the deep of life, just as He did with the disciples who heard Him. That is why we need His word. so that we can hear, amid the thousands of other words in our daily lives, that one word that speaks to us, not about things, but about life. Dear brothers and sisters, let us make room inside ourselves for the Word of God. Each day, let us read a verse or two of the Bible. Let us begin with the gospel. Let us keep it open on our table, carry it in our pocket or a bag, read it on our cell phones, and allow it to inspire us daily. We will discover that God is close to us, that He dispels our darkness, and with great love, leads our lives into deep waters. It's good to have a Sunday of the Word of God. It's also the Sunday that begins Catholic Schools Week. And just very simply put, in this world where there's so many pulls, whether a young person or an old person, but particularly for the young to get started off, you know, what a gift we have given to parents and to students over all the time we've been a parish, the option to be able to have that day in their time at school immersed in the Word of God. Yes, in the explicit teaching of the Word of God, of prayer that surrounds that day, but also in the Word of God made flesh, and the love and the wisdom of the teachers who are free to be able to speak about the Word of God and how it all applies. The love of the administrators and the love of a parish family who wants to offer this gift to their children. Every one of us are responsible for having given that gift of the Word of God made flesh and the importance of it and being able to help our youngsters be immersed in it at the beginning of their lives and all. We give God praise and thanks for that generosity and that goodness in the parish through the years. We ask God to help us to be able to keep it up. We ask you to, everybody, whether or not you've got a child or not, or grandchildren, or whoever it may be, everybody at one time or another during the year gets in a conversation about schools and what schools are about. Be aware of what we have to offer, you know, as an invitation to parents who are looking and making decisions about what kind of education they want their children to have, so that they have a strong invitation and have some information to be able to make good decisions about having their child in the schools. And let them know that we're doing all that we can, and we're doing a lot to be able to make it affordable for them to be able to do that. We give God praise and thanks for the Word of God as it comes to us in our daily life, as it comes to us in our liturgy, as it comes to us through our school. And we ask God to help us to be able to continue to grow in light so that we can be, through this Word of Life, light. Light in the dark regions, not only of our hearts, but in the dark regions of the world.